It's got a death curse.
Don't bother me, be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Battle for the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The video drone. The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, the television screen is part of the physical structure of the brain. Therefore, whatever appears on the television screen emerges as raw experience for those who watch it. Therefore, television is reality. And reality is less than television.
So this film screams Canadian.
Oh, totally. A little bit.
The Ontario license plates,
CN Tower. Machine.
And there was that time when that Mountie was riding a moose through town, exactly. One of the snowbirds flew over.
Smoking a Rothmans while drinking Canadian.
Listen to me.
What?
I want you to stay away from it. Those Mondo weirdo video guys, they've got unsavory connections, they play rough. Rougher than even Nicky Brand wants to play. Do you understand me?
Have you ever seen James Woods in a film role where he wasn't a fucking douchebag?
No. Have you seen Digstan?
The signal induces a brain tumor in the viewer. It's the tumor that creates the hallucinations.
Do you let me watch it?
Yes, this Canadian 1983 horror film does not age well.
But it looked better than the fucking shark from Jaws.
You son of a bitch, get out!
Your reality is already half. Video hallucination. If you're not careful, it will become total hallucination.
By the end, it's like, okay, what about the gun? Like, why does he have a vagina in his belly? What the fuck is going on here?
Why would anybody watch a scum show like Videodrome? Why did you watch it, Max? Why deny you get your kicks out of watching torture and murder?
So what's his message?
Don't watch
I'm
movie.
Part of the problem. You're the problem because you're the viewer of the fucking violent movies that I create. Come on, Cronenberg, what's the message?
I don't really have a message that I feel that the world must hear in order to be saved at all. So the fact that film audiences are fragmented and that there are people who will just not understand what I'm doing or not care to know what I'm doing, that's to me, that's inevitable. That's not a surprise at all.
Get the video drone! Long live the new flesh!
Hello and welcome back to the Horror 101 Podcast. This is your host, Cash Wampum, welcoming you to episode 76. And this time around, we wanted to give our Horror 101 patrons, those listeners supporting us, we wanted to give them influence on the show. The gift of taking the helm, so to speak. And I'm going to jump right to our discussion on how that came to be. We were thinking, okay, 76 show, we did 75, Jaws, because it was 1975. 76, which is our birth year, right? Mm-hmm. I figured, okay, let's do something from 76. We've done all the good ones. We've done Alice, Sweet Alice. We've done The Omen.
Yep.
And Carrie, and like those are the big 76 ones. Other than that, you got Burnt Offerings with incredible cast, but just not a very good movie. Oliver Reed, Betty Davis, Karen Black, I mean, Burgess Meredith, who has a cameo at the beginning. With names like that, you'd think they'd make a good film.
No.
It's not a very good film. It was probably an excellent book, just did not translate very well to 1976 celluloid. And I rewatched it when I was in Mexico, and it's just like, no.
Not as good as the Sentinel.
No, I don't think it's gonna be a good show. So I was like, and there was like Polanski's The Tenant.
But that's part of a trilogy too, and that's a psychological thriller. That's not really a horror.
There is a film which had loads of child endangerment. It was like basically Children of the Corn before Children
My
of the Corn.
Pick up, really?
It's a Spanish film. It's a fairly decent film, but I only have it in Spanish. Not going to translate very well for an audio podcast.
So we're like, okay, well, you guys choose what we're going to do. We'll leave it to the patrons, right? We got patrons.
Patrons.
Thanks again to our patrons for our support. I offered them a poll. Brian Stewart, what was your suggestion?
You know what? There's a lot of anniversary films this year, and I was going through like all the big titles, and one of the ones that stuck out for me was Videodrome.
Videodrome?
Because we love our Cronenberg around here.
1983. So, Nick, yeah. What was your suggestion?
Oh, fuck, what's it called?
Great fun. Mm-hmm. Space Vampires.
Yeah, this one was Space Vampires. Life Force.
Life Force. Toby Hooper, 1985. Nude.
Last Shift,
2014, which you saw recently.
And I was surprised how good it was. Very low budget, but highly effective.
That'll probably be a show sometime in the future. And Nefarious Paul Bean?
Session 9. Early 2000s with David Crusoe, who does suck, by the way. But
not in this movie.
The movie is very, very good.
Yeah, he doesn't suck in this movie, though.
True.
Nude hates David Caruso.
He's a douchebag.
No one likes David Caruso.
I think on some level, David Caruso hates David Caruso.
It's not looking too good, Horatio.
On the contrary, there's a chance.
This girl is alive, and we are going to find her.
Anybody takes off his sunglasses like that, has to hate himself.
Every time.
Yeah.
I didn't put one forth, so we let our patrons vote on it, and the voting was done 3 hours ago, and it was a 5-2-1. It was a 5-2-1, and our patrons picked this one.
Oh my goodness.
How did I know?
It'll be Videodrome 1983.
Let me guess, was I the one?
What's that?
Was I the one?
Session 9 was the one.
Oh, really?
I imagine so.
All right, like, I came in
where
second.
Were the other scores?
It was 4 for Videodrome, 2 for Session 9,
aww.
1 for Last Shift, and none for Life Force.
Well,
no love for Toby Hooper.
Well, bag of Toby Hooper's dicks.
There was none for Life Force, 1985.
It's fucking space vampires. You disappoint me,
people. Yeah, things move in cycles. Vampires are played out. Zombies are on their way.
No.
They should be.
Space vampire and shut up.
No.
So you patrons voted Videodrome in, and that is what we're going to do. David Cronenberg, Videodrome 1983, starring James Woods and Deborah Harry. But before we get started, Margot Kidder had just passed away like the day we recorded, so obviously we had a few things to say about that.
You fucking creep!
I'm going to kill you.
So, first order of business, Margot Kidder died. Your thoughts? We don't know what happened. All I know is that she was living in the States, and her kids, her family verified that, yeah, she was dead. Died in her home, 69 years old, and that her health had been deteriorating, so I'm not too sure. Of course, she's been battling mental illness and a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Remember in the 90s, she went totally fucking loopy.
She was
disappeared.
Almost full time, yeah.
Yep.
And then, you know, the last few years, she was doing the convention circuit.
She was supposed to be in Novi this weekend.
Yeah? Yep. This weekend?
This weekend.
Coming. Oh.
They were doing a big Superman thing with her and...
Christopher Reeve? Oh,
whoa, no.
Oh,
too
no.
soon.
Was it Christopher Reeve? It was, I can't remember, Ursa and the big dude. I can't remember his name.
Oh, and, Non?
Yeah. And it was supposed to be so Ursa, Non, and Margot Kidder.
What's so ironic about people seeing me as the quintessential Lois Lane is that when I got the part, I knew absolutely nothing about Superman. The key to getting it, it was somewhat manipulative and scheming, the key to getting it was to look as if I really, really loved Superman.
So, yeah, she stuck her toe in the horror a couple of times there in the 70s.
She was the best Lois Lane, though.
Yeah, you think she was the best one?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Max Wren is a victim.
I woke up with a headache.
He has been exposed to Videodrome.
I've been hallucinating for a while, ever since...
What?
Since I first saw Videodrome.
His brain is already receiving video images. Soon, his visions will coalesce and become uncontrollable flesh. Videodrome is seducing Max Wren. And Max Wren can do nothing to stop it.
What makes you think I need help?
None of our test subjects has returned to normality.
Television can change your mind. Videodrome will change your body.
Long live the new flesh.
It will shatter your reality. Videodrome, starring Deborah Harry and James Woods. A shocking new vision from the creator of Scanners. Coming soon to a theater near you from Universal Pictures.
And once again, folks, here's the lovely nude with a word from our sponsor.
Our friends at MYB Casino would like to give you the following offer. MYB Casino has huge bonuses. They give away tons of free spins and offer every single game you'll find in Vegas, plus many more that they don't even have there. You'll get a 200% welcome bonus for signing up with them. And best of all, when you win, they have a lightning-fast payout system that guarantees you'll get your cash quick.
Hey, did somebody say cash?
If you want to experience Las Vegas from your living room, mybcasino.ag is the only place you'll want to check out. For those who want a personal touch, they even have a live dealer casino with real people dealing out the cards. Whether you like blackjack, roulette, slots, or any other game, MYB Casino has it all. Not to mention, you can play all of their games on your cell phone, iPad, or tablet. So if you want to get in on the action, go to mybcasino.ag now and sign up using our promo code HORROR101, all one word, to ensure that you're eligible for all of their future promotions and bonuses. Again, that's M as in money, Y as in yes, and B as in bravo. mybcasino.ag with your special code HORROR101.
Well, I looked over the stills. I am interested. A little bit. How many shows you got?
13, with a possibility of another 6 if the sales go well.
You got cassettes?
Of course.
So, who has seen this? James Woods, this is a Cronenberg film, very Canadian.
Now, seeing yes, but with an asterisk, I haven't seen this in over like 25 years.
Yes?
So, I don't remember hardly anything about this movie.
Remember we mentioned when we did the last of the part, Tales from the Dark Side there? Deborah Harry was the witch that was trying to eat the kid there?
Right. Yep.
This was the other horror film that she was in.
Yep. This movie, the studio was actually trying to promote 5 horror films this year as, like, they put a lot of money into the marketing. There was this, Season of the Witch, and I'm trying to think what the other ones
Thing,
were.
The E.T.
The Thing. Yeah, E.T. Extraterrestrial. Well, they were pushing for
under universe
sci-fi films here. And this was one of them. They were pushing sci-fi and horror.
I've seen it once. I think I might have been high when I watched it, so it actually came out as a perfectly normal movie.
Well, since it's a Cronenberg film, sure.
I know at one point they almost burnt down the studio trying to make this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I hope to tell you that story. And James Woods damn near got electrocuted at one point.
So that was his kink.
Yeah,
so
that could be.
Now, hold it. Show me the last one.
Okarimasu?
Number 13.
But Max, you won't understand anything. Everything is set up in the first two.
My audience ain't gonna see the first two shows. Now show me the last one.
So Guy is part owner of a UHF station and he's looking for something.
UHF station!
It's Channel 8! And he's looking for something harder, more real. You know, he's doing the softcore porn already. He's doing the late night shit. He needs something different.
I just want to
stay alive.
Interrupt very quickly, though.
Yes.
What he was showing before, like before all the video jump shit, that, it's, okay, obviously what we saw was very softcore.
Yes.
But you see this Japanese woman fucking pulling out this massive dildo. So it doesn't seem like the whole thing was just softcore.
Right.
It seems like it just, like, it got very, very hardcore. We just didn't, as the audience, like, well, this big audience didn't see it.
Just to show a dildo on screen in 1983 would never have happened.
No.
I don't know. It's soft. Something too soft about it. I'm looking for something that'll break through, you know? Something tough.
Cronenberg recalled how, when he was a child, he used to pick up television signals from Buffalo, New York, late at night, after Canadian stations got off the air, and how he used to worry he might see something disturbing not meant for public consumption. This formed the basis for the plot of Videodrome.
Yeah, but whether UHF or VHF or whatever the fuck station, they're going to conform to FCC. You know, it's not like you're going to turn on something that's ridiculous.
Don't forget, Canadian television had a completely different set of rules after a certain time of night. Like, profanity was allowed, certain amounts of nudity.
Yeah. We used to, it was sleepovers, we used to stay up late and watch Channel 9 because the nudity would be on after 9 o'clock.
The Benny Hill.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I was saying before, like, CDTV when I was growing up, after, like, yeah, midnight or 1 o'clock, like, they'd play whatever their late movie was. After that, it'd be like the softcore porn movie.
Yep. Yeah. Which is what this, actually, that's where they got the name Civic TV for this. It is actually based on City TV, the Canadian network. And at one point, apparently somebody in the movie, and I missed the reference, I was watching for it, but apparently there's somebody in the movie gets referenced as being a Moses, because the guy who's founded City TV, his name is Moses.
That was one of the partners. Yeah. One of the partners' name was Moses.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where it comes from.
Max Wren, your television station offers its viewers everything from softcore pornography to hardcore violence. Why?
Well, it's a matter of economics, Rena. We're small. In order to survive, we have to give people something they can't get anywhere else. And we do that.
But don't you feel such shows contribute to a social climate of violence and sexual malaise? And do you care?
Certainly I care. I care enough, in fact, to give my viewers a harmless outlet for their fantasies and their frustrations. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a socially positive act.
One of Max's technicians intercepts a nasty video signal coming from some satellite. It's completely depraved, torture and murder, and Max has to have it.
There's no plot. It just goes on like that for an hour. We never leave that room.
No. It's a real sicko.
Brilliant.
For perverts only.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, look, there's almost no production costs. You can't take your eyes off it. It's incredibly realistic. Where do they get actors who can do this?
Oh, help me. I think he wants it.
Come on. It's worth checking out. Where is it coming from?
Pittsburgh. That's in the USA.
The thing that bothers me about the writing in this is just how much repetition there is. Like, you really get hammered over the head with the number of items. How many times do we actually get explained what the fuck Videodrome is over and over again?
I mean, the movie's only 88 minutes long.
Yeah, they're padding that much.
Do you know a show called Videodrome?
Video what?
D-R-O-M-E. Videodrome, like, you know, video circus, video arena. You know it?
No.
It's just torture and murder. No plot, no characters. Very, very realistic. I think it's what's next.
Then God help us.
Better on TV than on the street.
Excuse me?
But, yeah, Cronenberg definitely seems to have a fear of, like, erosion of culture. Like, going down certain paths will eventually lead to our doom. Like, we'll even cease to be human. I think that's the end goal, right?
You've
we'll
been on
be physically different.
You've been on Facebook, right?
Yeah. No sentience there.
There's a reason why I ditched it, like, 8 months ago.
Max. Videodrome is something for you to leave alone. It is definitely not for public consumption.
Channel 83 is a little small to be considered public.
I think it's dangerous, Max. Videodrome.
Why? But it's mafia. They do business.
It's more, how can I say, more political than that.
Come on, Masha, what are we talking about?
Videodrome. What you see on that show, it's for real. It's not acting. It's snuff TV.
I don't believe it.
But they even make reference in this to snuff films. Like, they actually use the term snuff
films. Yeah. And they even said Mondo films at that point. Yeah.
Even I have no interest in watching
that. That was another thing that was circulating back when I was a kid, the whole Faces of Death controversy. Remember the snuff film tapes were coming out?
Faces of Death, Traces of Death. There was a whole bunch of those Mondo films. Sure. And I'd seen all those. I was like the real death enthusiast where I got my hands on the sixth generation.
You were that
tape.
Friend. Oh, you said the one friend who got a hold of those tapes.
See,
and you know
I was growing up. That one friend was always a legend. It was always a friend of a friend, of a cousin of a friend. Like, I never knew anybody who had actually had those films. And even then, when people talked about them, not anything I would have wanted to see.
Yeah, I mean, pretty rough. But I was that guy.
I was the guy.
Well, a lot of the footage was like crime scene videotaping, investigating a crime scene.
They just added some buffers around.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I saw a lot of those, and disturbing, obviously. But the thing was, like, now I'm in my 40s, no interest. You know, because I know the world's a shitty place. I don't need to be reminded all the
That's
like
why
that
we watch
hardcore.
Porn.
Right. What did it for me though? Once the internet hit after. After 9/11 and the Iraqis were the beheadings.
Oh yeah,
That's when I'm like, okay, that's enough for me. I couldn't handle that.
No.
I'm like, that's it. Because that like everybody was like, oh, they don't make snuff movies. Snuff is it's legend. They don't make it. Sorry,
those are snuff films.
Yeah, then setting a guy up and starting to hack his fucking head off in front of the camera, and it's real. And you're like, I can't handle
it. And it's got like how many 100,000 views?
Or yeah,
billion views.
Like old Grish and shit like that. Yeah,
God, I used to avoid that site like the plague.
It was about 0304. Yeah. 0304. That's I got a dose of that, and it haunted me. It really did.
The world is shithole, ain't it? Yes, Max. It is. There must be a name. Give me a name I can talk to. Masha, you know me. I stay away from the scary stuff. Brian Oblivion. That is the only name I have to give. Professor Brian Oblivion.
Poor Max Wren. He has no clue that his ambitious campaign to seize Videodrome is about to fuck his world so bad, and it's gonna start with his girlfriend.
Going to audition. I was made for that show.
Listen to me.
What?
I want you to stay away from it. Those Mondo weirdo video guys, they've got unsavory connections. They play rough. Rougher than even Nikki Brand wants to play. Do you understand me?
Sounds like a challenge.
Interesting getting Deborah Harry in there as a lead.
Interesting
choice.
In all seriousness, it's kind of a... Because she was at her height of fame at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They would have been huge at that point.
Blondie,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And for her to take a role like this, where, you know, she's in the role she's in, but also the nudity involved, the height of her fame.
I'd like to know how she got involved, actually. Like, who cast her? Did Cronenberg cast her? Did she... call her up and say, you know what, we think you'd be perfect for this role?
Well, don't forget, Debbie Harry also, at that point in time, had established herself pretty much as a sex symbol. She had a bit of a solo career afterwards,
right.
And she did try her hand at acting, so.
I think she did pretty good at this.
Yeah.
As the saddest.
Yeah.
Sadist?
Saddest.
Sadist.
Saddest.
Saddest what? Saddest girl on the block?
Saddest.
Saddest girl on Blobby?
Mm-hmm.
Max. I'm so glad you came to me. I've been through it all myself, you see. Your reality is already half video hallucination. If you're not careful, it will become total hallucination. You'll have to learn to live in a very strange new world.
And the Professor Oblivion there, all he is a bunch of tapes. His whole existence is a bunch of pre-recorded Betamax and VHS tapes.
Actually reminded me of the scene in The Winter Soldier where they find out that Toby Jones was like, the thing, you're standing in my mind. So it's like, because this guy's basically his entire life had been boiled down to shelves of VHS.
That was great, with all the old reel to reel.
Yeah.
It was good.
I had a brain tumor. And I had visions. I believe the visions caused the tumor and not the reverse. I could feel the visions coalesce and become flesh. But when they removed the tumor, it was called Videodrome. I was Videodrome's first victim.
But who's behind it? What do they want?
I want you, Max. You.
I really liked the, I suppose you want to say, like, the climax of his hallucinations where, like, the TV, like, all the air bladder effects and the TV had veins on it, and when he actually, like, the one that they use in the cover, actually, like, he's putting his face into the screen. I just liked those, basically, for me, that was, like, the peak of, okay, now shit's just, okay, it's, up until then it was, like, weird little things and stuff like that, but that was, like, just, like, a full-on, okay, what's happening now?
Yeah. Very Freddy-esque, actually, because a lot of the special effects for Nightmare on Elm Street remind me of the more organic way everyday objects become. Because remember in Freddy, he used to
do stuff with the telephone or, you know.
Yeah.
Or with the wall in Nancy's room when he's trying to press through the wall and you can see his fingers in the wall. That kind of stuff reminds me more of what we saw here.
Yeah, like I just liked how it was like basically just like rubberized rear projection. Like, it actually, the effect looked really cool and, you know. That night, the other scene later with the TV where there was actually static on the screen when they were doing it, that's just because I miss static.
You miss traffic.
You miss that. The birth of the universe.
I have a thing for white noise.
White noise.
You watch the cassette?
Yeah.
And?
Changed my life.
I'm not surprised. It's dangerous, you know.
It triggered off a series of hallucinations. I woke up with a headache.
First time ever.
No, I've been hallucinating for a while, ever since...
What?
Since I first saw Videodrome.
This is part of my own Videodrome collection.
But that tape is just your father sitting at his desk.
The tone of the hallucinations is determined by the tone of the tape's imagery. But the Videodrome signal, the one that does the damage, it can be delivered under a test, pattern, anything.
Damage?
The signal induces a brain tumor in the viewer. It's the tumor that creates the hallucinations.
You let me watch it?
I expect them to come to me eventually to hurt me. I thought it might be you. Now I realize you're just another victim. Just like Father was.
So this whole time, I had a real Halloween 3 vibe. I couldn't shake it. Because there's that whole thing about a phantom transmission harming people for some nefarious reason. There's this secret kind of covert organization that's trying to harm society.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, that guy was no Dan O'Hurley.
No, God, no.
Hi. I'm Barry Convex, Chief of Special Programs, and I'd like to invite you into the world of Spectacular Optical. We make inexpensive glasses for the Third World and missile guidance systems for NATO. We also make Videodrome, Max. And as I'm sure you know, when it's ready for the marketplace, things will never be quite the same again.
But it's funny because they were produced in the same day. They were actually supposed to be released in the same year, but after Halloween 3, for some reason, the studio pushed this one back until February of next year.
Because Halloween 3 tanked.
Yeah.
Shit in bed, so.
Unfortunately, so this movie actually should have been released in 82.
Why would anybody watch a scum show like Videodrome? Why did you watch it, Max? Business reasons. Why didn't I get your kicks out of watching torture and murder?
You murdered Brian Oblivion, didn't you, you freak? Did you enjoy that?
So they want to release this video signal of this horrible trash cinema that's going to give you a tumor and make you hallucinate and die. Is that basically what they're cleaning up the cesspool?
Yeah, nobody's actually died from the tumors yet. The first guy had the tumor removed, he said. He actually said that. They removed the tumor, and the tumor was Videodrome. And then later he said it wasn't a tumor, that it was an extra organ, that it was designed, it was supposed to be put there by design.
Yeah.
For what, subservience? Control? What's the point of killing people off if you have control of them, right?
Yeah. We're going to start with Channel 83, Max. We're going to use it for our first authentic transmissions of Videodrome. I have a hunch it's going to be very popular. For a while. I've got to be hallucinating now, right? I mean, you two can't possibly be for real.
Open up, Max. Open up to me.
Imagine hallucinating that you have this giant vagina gaping out of the middle of your stomach, and then some asshole sticks a meat cassette in there, which programs you into an assassin. And then you retrieve a gun out of the same belly gina that biologically fuses to your hand. Think it sounds ridiculous? Wait till you see it.
Chow, man. Well, that's a good one. There ain't much to see here, but take your time and have a good look anyway. Now, what is?
When you're seeing the transformation of the hand, that shot lingers way too long because...
Intro! I actually like that. I think that one looked cool.
But there's no consistency because the hand looks more real at the start, and then by the end you can tell it's a fake hand. Like, it's very much a mannequin hand.
I kind of like the idea of that, you know, that metal...
The tubing.
That tying into his tendons and his veins. Like, I thought that looked
cool. When he was turning his hand over, you could see it in his wrists. And that'll look really good, but there are moments when the transplant takes so long, that hand does not look real. It looks like a mannequin hand.
Yeah, but it's an evolution, though, because by the end, it's just like a mound of flesh just
hanging off of him.
You know, it's
but
it's,
sometimes he pulls it, then he puts his gun in the pocket, but then he pulls his hand out, and it's gone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is it really there? Is
well,
he hallucinating?
The madness,
right?
It's the whole madness thing.
It's always painful to remove the cassette. Change the program. But now that we have, you'll see that you've become something quite different from what you were. You've become the video word made flesh.
I am the video word made flesh.
Now that you are the video word made flesh, you know what you have to do. You turn against Videodrome. You use the weapons they've given you to destroy them. Death to Videodrome. Long live the new flesh.
My favorite scene's the ending. The gun, the cancer gun there. The guy exploding with the Kung Pao chicken flying out of his fucking head. I thought it was juicy. I thought it was great. That was excessive for 83. That would have been great.
Yeah.
I'm sure that turned a lot of stomachs. That was a great effect. I'll give it that. It was graphic.
It's
very
juicy.
It reminded me. The blood looked good.
Yeah.
You know, the Kung Pao chicken flying out of the guy. The duck was good. The head splitting apart and the tumors flying out of it. For 83, that was great.
Right. His expression, it kind of reminded me of the death of Billy Cole when he's melting on the stairs.
Yeah.
If something's going to transform on screen, who else do you get other than Rick Baker, though? I mean, that's the guy, right? Yeah, definite slow speed issues. The first half of the film happens way too slowly. There's a lot of padding. Like for an 88-minute film, I would have expected this to go a little faster to get to the point.
His decay into madness, I think the pacing for that was fairly decent.
But getting to that point took a while.
And you don't know exactly what's going on. Like, okay, is he hallucinating? Is it live or is it fucking Betamax? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's real, what's not? By the end, it's like, okay, what about the gun? Like, why does he have a vagina in his belly? What the fuck is going on here?
Long live the new flesh.
So what the fuck is Cronenberg trying to tell us here? The TV is bad, that if you like violent, horrible pornography, then you're just a cancer to society?
I think that's what he's going on.
I think it's a slippery slope towards madness.
No, I think he's kind of piggybacking on the whole Video Nasties.
Right. Because
those are around the same time as Video Nasties.
Oh, yeah.
And the reaction and the overreaction to it. You know, everybody had this, you're going to turn into mass killers, you're going to be rapists, you're going to do this, that, and the other.
You want to even
mess with them. And that's what I think he's talking about.
There's a dehumanization.
But he himself is a purveyor of violent cinema. So what's his message?
Don't watch
my movie. I'm part of the problem. You're the problem because you're the viewer of the fucking violent movies that I create. Come on, Cronenberg. What's the message?
I don't really have a message that I feel that the world must hear in order to be saved at all. So to that extent, my films are entertainment in the fullest sense. I mean, I like people to entertain my films rather than my films to entertain them, to entertain the ideas in the film. And the fact that film audiences are fragmented and that there are people who will just not understand what I'm doing or not care to know what I'm doing, that's, to me, that's inevitable. That's not a surprise at all.
It seems to me like this whole movie is kind of a very tongue-in-cheek, kind of backhanded insult towards television and
media,
yeah. And you know, our consumption of it. I kept thinking, I'll admit, you'll never hear me say this again, but this movie screams for a remake.
I was gonna
not just for the plot. I mean, to obviously, like 24 hours a day now we have media,
right.
But just aesthetically, like it looks old.
It does.
You know, it looks terribly old. But just the idea of bringing it into 2018, you know, we're all always surrounded by media, we can't avoid it.
And not just now, the thing that makes it more poignant now is the fact that we can
choose what we want to see at any given moment, given the internet.
Right.
We don't have to sit there and wait to be fed whatever the tube allows us to see. Now we can go out and seek whatever entertainment we want.
Well, it used to be called appointment television. Like, if there's a show you wanted to watch, you'd have to sit down. You knew when it was on.
Holy shit, remember when TiVo was revolutionary?
Oh, yeah. And now...
Time-shifting?
Like, now...
You know what? I don't even have an antenna hooked up to any TV in my house. Like, no cable, no antenna.
Well, because you
can
watch whatever you want on your phone.
Exactly.
The most disturbing part about media now is that back then it was a kind of more social activity. You had to gather together around the one TV in the house to watch all the television, right?
Yeah.
But now everyone watches TV more in isolation. Everyone can watch TV whenever they want, but everyone watches their own shows. There's more than one TV in the house.
Remember back
the family doesn't even come together anymore.
Remember back in the day setting up viewing parties? Whoever had the nicest TV, like the best setup, everybody would go to their place for something big that was happening.
Yeah.
Videodrome. Mention it to your father. He may want to have a conversation.
So let us score this film. Who are we going to start with? Let's go with Nefarious.
Yeah, because I don't want to steal his thing.
Son of a bitch.
Pick a number, Nick.
I would give it a 7. It doesn't really hold up well in a lot of areas. It's very dated by the time. The storyline is somewhat dated. It could be updated. Very good performances, except for... I mean, James Woods isn't bad. He just is. But yeah, 7. Nothing exceptional, but nothing terrible.
But it looked better than the fucking shark from Jaws.
You son of a bitch! Get out!
I think that massive doses of Videodrome signal will ultimately create a new outgrowth of the human brain, which will produce and control hallucination to the point that it will change human reality.
Brian Stewart?
I was going to give it a 7, but then I started thinking maybe it's more like a 6.5, actually. But no, I'm going to give it a 7.
7?
You know what? It feels like a 6.5 because it feels kind of dated and rough, and it's a bit of a slow build to the madness, and once the madness gets there, I think the murder spree kind of wraps things up a little quickly for me. And I don't like the repetition in the screenplay. We get beaten over the head time and time again with so many phrases and repetitious information that I'm like, really, you could have cut a lot of this, but then what would you do for the 20 minutes you would have cut out of this movie? But the ideas I like. I like the ideas, and I think they're worth revisiting again. But it's a 7. I don't think I want to go lower than that because I like what it has to say, and I like the message of it.
Now, you and this cesspool you call a television station, your viewers, you're rotting us away from the inside. We intend to stop that rot.
And, Nick?
I'm actually only going to give it a 6. And my primary reasoning is I shouldn't have been bored as much as I was for an 80-something minute movie. Like, when I actually tried to get into the plot, which was mildly incoherent, there was a lot of leftover threads. I realize you're looking at through the eyes of somebody who's basically been given a tumor and doesn't exactly have the greatest grip on reality. Or does he now have the ability to modify reality and his body and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know... I understand that they're trying to set up this whole weird question thing, but it doesn't even answer the primary thing of its own plot. Like, it meanders, and if none of the weird shit's going on... If somebody had a laser pointer, I'd be attacking the wall right now.
Did you take Videodrome last night?
Yeah, if it was transmitted, the machine would have caught it.
I'll meet you in the lab in 1 hour. I want to see it.
I'll give it a 6.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6. I mean, I've seen this probably maybe 3 times, and I like James Woods in it. I really do. Deborah Herring, beautiful. I think she hits the mark. She's sultry. She adds that sexiness to the picture, and her whole sadist angle is interesting. You know, how it kind of, she ties him into that world kind of deal, and we still don't even know if she ever existed. No. Can you trust anything in this film to be correct and true? You cannot. And that's a staple of a Cronenberg film, at least in this time. And you know what? 3 years down the road, he made The Fly, which was superior in every way.
Yeah.
The effects were better. The story was smarter.
The
stakes were higher. The acting was better. Everything was much superior.
100% more Goldblum.
Yeah.
Lots of Goldblum. Lots of Davis.
Every part, almost every part of Goldblum.
There's other movies that I'd like to try for the show, like The Brood.
Yeah.
Scanners has to be a show at some point. But this show, this was the first time that we enabled our patrons
to get involved.
But I mean, that, and it's an anniversary show too, because it just turned 35 this year, and it definitely is a product of its age.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny that.
Yeah, if I mean, if you're less than 20 years old, you have no idea what a VHS tape is.
No.
After all, there is nothing real outside our perception of reality, is there? You can see that, can't you?
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen, our 76th podcast, David Cronenberg's Videodrome from 1983, starring James Woods, Deborah Harry, and Leslie Carlson. This was the film our patrons voted for. A word of thanks to our newest supporters, Tessa and Jason L. And to all our patrons out there, thanks to your contributions, I'm happy to say that we have just today upgraded our Podomatic hosting to Platinum Pro, which means we'll no longer be tailing off older shows. We've got a ton more storage and hosting bandwidth for Horror 101. This would not be possible without your assistance, so again, thank you. We're going to be posting audio clips from our recording sessions, some discussions that never made the show. Sometimes we get off topic and hilarity ensues, so we're going to offer them as a bonus to our patrons. And if you want to support the show and become part of the team, make your way on over to patreon.com/horror101. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the nefarious Paul B., the cult sensation Nick McPherson, and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears.
They literally had to recycle the last of the petty cash in the final scene there.
This magnificent meal represents the last of the petty cash.
Oh, you got to overdub that as he's splitting open the stuff's coming out. This magnificent meal.
But yeah, I'd read once, I don't know if it was at a Fangoria or something, that they actually, when they were making the effect for the guy coming apart, they actually had leftover Chinese food. And they just threw it all in there. Like, just what can we use? They're like, put the Kung Pao chicken, put the General Tso's in there, just let it fucking fly out. So when he's like,
oh, that makes me just want popcorn chicken.
He said that, I'm like, you're pretty close, man, because there's actual food in there.